Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are the seed of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. Well, except the Egyptians, and yeah, I guess the Babylonians too. But that's in the past. We're completely free now. Oh, unless you count the fact that we're under the thumb of the Romans, and we can hardly even blow our noses without asking their permission. Okay, so we're not literally in chains at this very moment, and we do get to have our own king, who's kind of half-Jewish. So we are pretty free, but we don't need anyone to set us free. In reading the gospel today, it can be kind of hard to figure out why exactly the people are reacting to Jesus as they do. He tells them that he has come with the truth and that the truth will set them free. But for some reason, they really don't seem to grasp the need to be set free. In a temporal sense, their ancestors were enslaved more than once, and the kingdom that they're now living in is just a puppet of the Roman Empire. While it was true that they weren't actually slaves at the moment, they were far from free. Their pride in being the seed of Abraham, God's chosen people, seemed to be getting in the way of understanding what Jesus had to say to them. But can we see this in ourselves sometimes too? We Americans are a very proud bunch. We certainly have a lot to be proud of. We settled this continent. We tamed the West. We've built one of the greatest economies this world has ever known. We've come to the rescue of our overseas allies more than once. And on an individual level, there's that whole American ethic of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. Through hard work and persistence, we can achieve the American dream. We don't need the help of anyone. Just give us freedom to pursue our destiny and stay out of our way, and we'll achieve great things. I mean, pride can't really hurt anything if it's justifiable pride, can it? This conversation that Jesus is having with these Jewish people centuries ago really seems to perfectly apply to us today. If Jesus were to be here today and saying to us, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," I can perfectly picture us saying, "We are Americans. We've never been slaves to anyone. How is it that you say, 'I will set you free'?" And we would completely miss the point. You see, Jesus wasn't talking about freedom in a physical, temporal sense here on earth. Plenty of God's chosen people, both the Israelites and those who were grafted in later, lived the life of a slave. Jesus is talking about spiritual freedom and the freedom of the world to come. He clarifies it by saying, "Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." He shows them that in their freedom, they are more enslaved than they ever have been before. Their freedom from earthly oppressors has only made them more free to sin. Every one of us has been born into sin. As the traditional confession from the liturgy says so clearly, "I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean." And isn't that exactly what we see? People constantly arguing for more freedom to live a sinful life. "This is America. I can do whatever I want to do." Now, I have absolutely no problem with people having freedom. Freedom from oppression is a very godly principle. But don't be fooled into thinking that freedom here on earth makes you anything more than a slave. Each and every day when we look at our sin, we know that to be true. You can have all the determination and the gumption that you want, but there's no pulling yourself up by the bootstraps out of sin. Once the people understood this point, and once we truly understand it, that we have no ability to pull ourselves out of sin, that is when we are able to hear perhaps the sweetest thing ever. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the tyranny of sin. The truth that Jesus brought was that we were slaves to sin, but through him, we are no longer slaves to our sinful nature. Though the world, the devil, and your sinful nature would want you to believe that we have no need for redemption, that we're already free, through the truth that has been revealed to us, we know that we were in need of a Savior and that Savior has come. In addition to the burden of their sinful nature, the people who Jesus addresses in our gospel today also were suffering under the heavy burden of the law. The law had been written on their hearts, just as it is written on our hearts, along with the law that had come down to them from God through Moses. This law was a constant reminder to the people of their inability to live the life of perfection demanded by God. It highlighted their daily sin that distanced them from God and set a heavy burden upon them. This impossible standard could not be fulfilled while they were still slaves to sin. The yoke they carried each day was knowing that despite all the rituals they performed, despite all the good deeds that they prided themselves on, they were sinful and imperfect, and they deserved death and hell. At the same time, the Jews were given a foretaste of the gospel to come. They waited in eager expectation for the one who would bring them righteousness and relieve them from this heavy burden. God had provided them with enough hope to carry them through. Then, in the generation of those who are listening to Jesus in our gospel today, the full righteousness of God was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness was given freely to all who believed. There was no need to fulfill the law, no need to strive for an impossible standard. Every one of them, and every one of us, in our brokenness, received that sweet gospel that despite who we were, we are and always will be the forgiven and dearly loved children of God. We find our identity in the triumph of our Lord, in the true freedom that we have, rather than in the identity of who we once were. In our epistle today, we hear it so clearly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And thank God it doesn't stop there, because it continues with, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption in Christ Jesus. We have sinned. We have fallen short of God's glory. But that's only half of who we are. We are also freely redeemed and empowered to live in freedom. But Christians haven't always heard that message so clearly. Those were the sounds as Martin Luther hammered his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Today, we remember and in fact celebrate Reformation Day, the day when Luther hammered those theses to the door. But why? Why was it so important that we actually dedicate a day in our church calendar to celebrating such an event? Many of the Christians at the time of Luther suffered from the very same heavy burden that the Jews of Jesus' time suffered under in our gospel today. They were either crushed by the weight of the law that they could not fulfill, or they lived in ignorance of their slavery. Some, like Luther, lived in constant fear of God's wrath. They believed that to escape the fires of hell or the suffering of purgatory, they needed to live a life free of sin. As they reflected on even the smallest sin, they knew that they could not fulfill the demands of the law, and they trembled in fear. They saw only a God of anger and rage, which was often reinforced within their churches. Others lived a life of outright sin, relying on things like indulgences for their salvation. These indulgences were pieces of paper that were sold, sometimes with the seal of the Pope himself, declaring absolution for all sin committed by the person. But still, these indulgences were built on the thought that through our good works, we could offset the evil that we had committed and join Christ in heaven. The thinking was that since the saints had done more than enough good works, those excess good works created a treasure chest in heaven, which the Pope could freely draw from, which he then sold to the people through indulgences. What a heavy burden to live under. In his studies, Luther had access to the Bible in Latin, which was actually very rare at that time. Very few people were able to afford a Bible that wasn't written in their own language, and so often the church said that the average person couldn't really understand it anyway. In his reading of Scripture, though, Luther came to see that the church had it all wrong. In reading the Gospels and the letters of the New Testament, Luther came to see that we are not justified by good works. We are justified freely by the grace of God through faith. As our epistle concluded today, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." In his realization that we are not bound by the way of the law, but are freely forgiven and made righteous, Luther was overjoyed. But he wasn't alone in discovering this in Scripture. Many others in the church agreed. And in fact, it was known and taught by the earliest church fathers. It's just that the gospel had been obscured over centuries by new teachings in the church that strayed from what was truly taught in Scripture. Luther set in motion a movement to help the church recapture the purity of the gospel. And while there's much to say about Luther's role in setting the movement in place, it wasn't really Luther who restored the gospel in the church. If you look at the altar appearance today, the cloth that we have here on the lectern and on the altar, you'll see that they're red. We use that color only a few times each year and only on a few occasions: Pentecost, Confirmation, Ordination, and Reformation. Can you see the common theme in those occasions? They're all occasions where we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Reformation was a movement of the Holy Spirit to set his church on fire once again with the gospel. The Spirit moved through the church and set on fire the hearts of God's people. When they had suffered under the burden of the law, the sweetness of the gospel was contagious and spread through the church as it had just when the apostles had first been sent out. You cannot contain the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit moves and works as it wills in his church. It sets us afire when we hear the good news that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are free children of God. Through the truth that was brought to us by Christ Jesus and the empowering of the Spirit to have faith, we have received the full redemption of our sins. And in the Spirit, we are set free from the crushing burden of the law that has been placed upon us. Only in Christ and in his truth can we truly claim that we are slaves to no one. Amen. All right.